He is risen. I tell you what an exciting day, what a privilege, what an opportunity that we have to be able to proclaim that. And this morning on Easter Sunday, we celebrate a risen Savior, and it does distinguish us from every other religion that has ever been put forth. Our Savior, our leader, has risen, and he has risen indeed. And for that, we have the privilege of being able to proclaim that. What an exciting thing. And I tell you, even watching and trying to kind of put myself in the position where you have these texts going back and forth, but you understand that even 2,000 years ago, this idea of people telling other people that he's risen and he has risen indeed, what an exciting, exciting thing. And even as we get ready for Scripture, I want to make sure that we understand how significant resurrection is to us. Because I think that there are believers out there that may not fully understand or anticipate what resurrection means. And maybe perhaps you've come this morning and you've said, you know, I believe in this Jesus, but the resurrection thing, that's a little bit too much for me to handle. I want you to know that resurrection is the key to our life here on earth, and it is the key to our life in the everlasting. See, what happened some 2,000 years ago, Jesus had been with disciples, and we understand that these disciples, that we always talk about 12 of them, but you understand that there were many, many more people that had begun to follow after Jesus, and the disciples were encouraging others, and then there were a number of people that were with Jesus, and we understand that even when Jesus was going into town on the Sunday before this Sunday, that people were walking with palm branches, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then Jesus was given over to another people. And by the way, right before this happens, Jesus has dinner with his disciples, and the 12 are saying, we would always follow you. We'll be with you till the end. Even Peter, who we understand that Jesus says that you are the rock, Peter, that I'm going to build my church upon that rock. And we say, Peter, he must have known. And yet even Peter was saying at the time when Jesus would be in crucified, I don't know him. And I'm going to tell you that 3 days ago and thousands of years ago, when Jesus was crucified, the disciples and the people that Jesus had been with and spent time with, they were devastated and they were defeated. The disciples that many years ago, when Jesus had been given over, they wanted to be strong, but they were much like we are today. And they're saying, I have believed, but now that my life hinges on this particular thing, this one man, I'm scared and I don't know what's going on here. But folks, Sunday's coming. And you understand that those same disciples, those same followers who were defeated and deflated and demoralized and devastated, they, in just a few days, will begin to preach in the streets, and they will say, our Savior is alive. And many people will look at us as believers, as Christians, and say, there's no way that you can believe in resurrection. And I would respond to that, there's no way that I cannot believe in resurrection. Because it makes no sense to me why people who would say, I can't be with him, I'm not with him, I don't understand, I want to separate myself from Jesus, even though I've spent time with him, he's kind of gone off the deep end, and you can have him, and yet 3 days later, when Jesus has appeared, those same disciples are saying, he's alive, and he has done what he said he was going to do. And that's the reason 3 days after the death and burial of Jesus, when he was resurrected, that's why they were willing to die. You understand that in that day and age, this was a very difficult thing to go and preach in the streets. You certainly would spend jail time, and you certainly had possibly had the opportunity to die for your faith. And they were saying, we're going to do it. We're going to make a difference. And see, when we think about that, you think about the spread of Christianity. You think about the day when Jesus dies and everyone is scattered. Then you see in the scripture where people begin to follow after Christ. And then you see in 40 days there's thousands of followers. Thousands of followers. And now to this day where I know that we hear people speak negatively about Christianity, but I want you to hear something positive about Christianity this morning, that while it started with one, then to 12, then to thousands, one in three people in the world today identify as a believer in Jesus Christ. So we are celebrating with a couple of billion people this morning. That's a decent party. That's a decent party. And I am thankful for that. See, those disciples had decided to follow after Jesus. What made him special? I mean, Jesus never wrote a book, yet thousands and thousands and thousands of books have been written about this one man. Jesus never wrote a song. By far in the world today, there are more songs written about this one man than any ever in history or will ever be written in history. But by this one man, he never drew pictures nor did any sculptures. And yet the art that we see today signifies who he is. And he never really went beyond 100 miles of his own hometown. And yet you can find believers in every nook and cranny on the planet. And why is it? Because the resurrection is true. The resurrection is true. And I don't mind telling you this morning, I feel like the 12-year-old in the video saying, I knew it! I knew it! I mean, just want to jump out of my seat with excitement to say, he said he would do it, and he did it. So this morning, what does that mean for us? What does resurrection mean for us? I'm going to spend just the next few minutes telling you the implications of resurrection, just trying to share with you about what resurrection means, because honestly, we do not have Easter Sunday morning without the resurrection. Jesus was more than a good man. He was more than a prophet. He was the Son of God. Jesus did not just die. He died, was buried, and he was resurrected, and that's what we celebrate this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to share a passage of scripture that you are very familiar with. In my 6 years as the senior pastor here at Highland Baptist Church, I have inserted this particular passage in maybe 10 to 15% of my sermons because this is something we identify with. This is one of those scriptures that we learned when we were in vacation Bible school or we're in Sunday school. And even if you didn't go to those things, you're likely very familiar with John 3:16. As I prepared my message, I realize that what John 3:16 says is definitely better than what I have to say this morning. And so I want to break that down. I want to go to verse 17, and then I want us to try to apply what John 3:16 is saying to us this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, if you will stand with me for the reading of God's word, we'll read John 3:16 and 17 together. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God, we pray just a blessing over the reading of your word. We pray that you would inspire us through your word. And God, this morning, even as I preach, God, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth will be pleasing to you. God, I pray that it will be applicable in all that we say and do and that we would celebrate a risen Savior. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first thing that I want us to see is that this story of resurrection has classical significance. There is so much that I want to say, and I really need to be careful about trying to take everything out and throwing it all out here, but there are there are a number of things that can be spoken about in this particular area of classical significance. We see as we read the scripture that what happened with Jesus after he died and after he was resurrected, we see a complete turnaround in the people who had spent time with Jesus. But fast forward to 2018, and there are certainly people in this world, and certainly in the United States, who claim to be wise, and they want to cast doubt on the things that we read in Scripture, whether or not they are true. Now, I am a Christian pastor. I've been a Christian pastor for nearly 25 years now, and I obviously have devoted my life to studying the Scriptures and studying Christianity, and I believe that everything that the Bible says about who Jesus was is true. But I also acknowledge that there are people who still struggle with that. And one of the areas that I know that people struggle with is the famous argument today in our colleges is that these were oral traditions that were passed down. And as they were passed down, those oral traditions begin to change and take on a life of their own. In fact, other religions, when they don't want to be satisfied with what we say about resurrection, they will say that Paul actually didn't write about the resurrection. And they'll say the gospel writers did not write about resurrection. That particular thought absolutely is inaccurate. They say that just because that's what they want you to hear. And what happens is Christians buy into that and they say, maybe they're right. It has no historical significance. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And the reason it's significant to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is because there are a number of things that just are not argued today. Number one, no one's going to argue whether or not Paul was a man who walked the earth. No academician's going to argue that. None of those famously smart people are going to argue whether or not Paul walked the earth. And so when you start to look at Paul's letters, his epistles, you know, there are some people who would say that Paul did not write all of the letters. He didn't write all of the epistles. But even these incredibly smart people will say, well, Paul wrote some of these, including 1 Corinthians. So what Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians is he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he is telling them about resurrection. And so when you read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 says this, "For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Incredible. This is Paul writing to a church, Corinth. No one's debating whether or not Paul was a real person. No one's debating whether or not Paul has written these words. So then there becomes this debate, well, does Paul really know what's going on? Does the oral tradition, by the time it gets to Paul, really hold weight? I want to share with you this morning a couple of things about the historical significance of this particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because remember, it says, "For God so loved the world." God loved the world from eternity past. He's always loved you, and he's always loved me. He's always loved us even when we were unlovable. Paul writes 1 Corinthians, and we probably get a date for 1 Corinthians. Make sure you follow me here. Probably get a date of 1 Corinthians around 52 to 54 A.D. Scholars would say that Jesus probably dies around 30-32 AD. That means that when Paul writes his letter to the church at Corinth, it's only been 20 years. And I know that you're happy about that, but wait, there's more. Paul says in verse 3, "For what I received, I passed on to you." I received this. That receiving, even though the church at Corinth probably gets this letter at 52, that receiving means it's happened before. We also know that Paul has spent time with Peter. We see him spending that time with Peter, and Peter is an eyewitness. And so in a sense, what we're seeing, what we are understanding, is that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he has spent time with an eyewitness. And even if we give just a few years there, the time that he spent with Peter, the 18 months, the time that it takes for him to receive those thoughts and the time that it takes for him to pin that down, I mean, I think it's
fair to say, let's give him that time at 42 AD. Now, I understand that we don't remember everything clearly about what happened 10 years ago, but I will tell you this. I do remember pretty clearly all the significant events that happened in my life within the last 10 years. In fact, I remember clearly what happened in my life 16 years ago, 14 years ago, 20 years ago. That is my marriage and the birth of my two children. Understand this, that when we talk about an oral tradition being passed down, there was great detail shared. Why? Because it was the significant event for all Christendom. It was the defining moment. And you think that Paul, having talked with an eyewitness, Peter, couldn't remember what he had heard from Peter, who had been with Jesus maybe even 10 years ago. There's great historical credibility to the writings of the Word of God. Don't let people tell you that there's not historical significance there. Don't let people tell you that there's not accuracy there, because there is. By the way, no scholars are even going to debate whether or not Jesus walked the earth. I mean, 20 and 30 years ago, there were people who were saying, well, Jesus might not even be a real person. No real scholar says that now. No real academician, no real scholar says there's no such thing as Jesus. What they will say is there was a Jesus, but when he died, he died. And here's what I say to that. Then why can't they find the bones? Why, when they went to the tomb, they say, well, they went to the wrong tomb, really? Is that a great argument? Or Jesus wasn't really dead, really? He was crucified by men whose job it was to crucify. They knew clearly what it took to kill someone. And the scripture tells us that they took a spear and they stuck it in the side and blood and water flowed. And the reason that that is significant is because we understand that that is a sign of death. And then they wrap him and they put him in a grave and they roll a stone in front of the grave and then they put guards there to protect the grave. And you're telling me Jesus just popped out? Somebody came and stole the body? The scripture has historical significance, for God so loved the world, eternity past, that he gave his one and only son, that today the resurrection has contemporary significance, that today whoever believes in him will not perish. For God so loved the world, eternity past, that whoever believes today will have eternal life. Let's talk about the contemporary significance. What does it mean that Jesus Christ, what does the resurrection mean for us today? It means that we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. We believe that Jesus Christ was the only person who ever rose from the grave. We believe that as we receive him, that we will walk this life with him. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Here is what that is saying. The contemporary significance of the resurrection means that when I receive Christ, I am no longer myself. Christ is living within me. The Bible tells us that anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel even that I am doing a new thing. I am giving you a new heart. I'm placing it within you. The Bible tells us that God has great plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. He told that to the Jews, but we see great application for our lives even today. The significance is that God's resurrection, Jesus' resurrection today, has significance for us today, and that we have life. And here's the truth, because people sometimes don't want to speak the truth, that apart from Christ, the Bible tells us you can do nothing. We love to celebrate and speak a Philippians verse saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the Bible also says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm telling you that the resurrection this morning has implications not just for what our future is, it holds implications for us right now, today. The resurrection is significant for us today. And see, if we spend just a little bit of time here, we know that that's very difficult, and here's why. Because we live with hurts, defeats, struggles. And then we spend time in our bed at night wondering, how can there really be a God when it doesn't seem like I ever, ever get my way? And by the way, I think that that's a normal question. I mean, we don't love honesty. None of us want to say, well, I want my way. But the fact is, we live trying to get our way every single day. And I'm saying to you that John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And that means today, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it has implications for your life today. Romans 8:2 says it like this: the power of the resurrection is greater than the power of sin and death in our lives. We talk about addictions. We talk about murder, we talk about adultery. What we never talk about is sin. Today in the United States and across the world, the most significant problem is sin. We want to signal out, we want to point out individual sins, and most of the time, the individual sins that we point out are sins that we don't normally struggle with. So, for instance, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, it's just, this is not my vice. I'm a Baptist pastor. It's not my vice, so I'm going to say this. But when people are drunk, it's easy for us to say, look at that person, they're drunk, and that's horrible. How can you act like a Christian when you're drunk all the time? Easy for me to say, I've never had a drop of alcohol. It's easy for me to point that out. You know what's not as easy for me to point out? When someone has an anger issue or an eating problem, those are not my cup of tea. I don't really like to point those out. You know why? Because that's what I struggle with. But the Bible tells us that we can have freedom from our sin. That's contemporary significant. Thirdly, we don't just have a classical significance with the resurrection or a contemporary significance with the resurrection. We have a coming significance. The Bible says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then the scripture, Jesus says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? For God so loved the world, eternity past, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, contemporary, right now, the present, will have life, will have eternal life coming in the future. And the reason that we see this is because Christ died for us, and we see the resurrection. Can I just say one quick thought about this, and then I'll go to my last point and be finished. Hang in there with me. I'm almost done. In this particular place, I realize that we struggle with this because of a little word that none of us are comfortable with: death. I checked the statistics, and statistically, I don't know if you know this, but 100% of us will die. In fact, we can take that to history, and statistically, it looks like that most everybody who has walked the planet, and when I say most everyone, I mean everyone, aside from Jesus. And if you want to go to a couple of Old Testament people and test me on this, we're not there. Let's just go with Jesus. But they've all died. See, we tend to fear death because we have made it out to be something that it's not. Do you know what death truly is for the believer? It's the ushering in to eternity. It's the ushering in to a life that we have only dreamed about. And that's significant. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, because Christ has been raised from the dead, so also in Christ all will be made alive. By the way, you are not waiting right now as a believer for your coming opportunity. You have opportunities right now in this very moment. Finally, I want to say it like this. The resurrection has a comprehensive significance. In John chapter 3, verse 16, and then it goes on to 17, it says, the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And I want to be incredibly clear about this. I know that there's a lot of kind of back and forth, people discussing about what the significance of death is. But I want to be clear that all have the opportunity to respond to the gospel. The Bible says that God will draw all men unto himself. The Bible says that therefore, those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. In John, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And in verse 13, it says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's comprehensive because what we're talking about, this resurrection, it doesn't just affect believers, it affects everyone. Here's what I mean by that. I don't want to mix my words. Make sure, if you're going to quote me, that you listen carefully. The Bible is clear. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And as a Christian pastor for 25 years, there definitely have been people who say, well, you are trying to be exclusive and you're not including other people. And I simply respond, that's not me. I'm just reading the scripture. And I believe what the scripture has to say. And we always talk about how exclusive it is. Folks, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That seems pretty inclusive to me. I did a Greek word study on that. You know what that word really literally means? Everyone. Yeah, yeah. Or anyone. I plead with you to understand that the resurrection is key to who we are. I plead with you to understand that Jesus Christ died, went to the grave, and was resurrected on our behalf. I plead with you to understand that the only way for life here abundantly and life eternally is through Jesus Christ. For the believer, there is no debate about that. And that abundant life and eternal life is free to anyone who will receive it. The Bible says that we're all the same, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, because everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Just very quickly, and I promise I'll sum it up. I told you that scholars, really, academicians, all the smart people in the world, they're really not even making that their argument anymore. They're not saying that Jesus wasn't a real person. They're not saying that Paul wasn't a real person. They're not saying that these weren't written down. Jesus with his disciples, walking along, he says to his disciples, hey, guys, who do you say that I am? Disciples responded, well, some say a prophet, some say a good man, some say Elijah. And then Jesus becomes very direct and he says, but who do you say that I am? And I am asking the same question, not because I want to know, but because I believe the scripture is clear. It's asking, who do you say that Jesus is? In that moment, those who believed Jesus said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's why we celebrate. I know it's Easter Sunday. There's a lot of pageantry that goes along with Easter Sunday. But in a few moments, we're going to reflect and respond to really everything that we've done this morning. We've sung together. We've looked at videos together. We've searched the Word together. I'm going to ask you to reflect and respond what God has done in your life. Lots of times, traditionally, that means coming forward and saying, hey, I'd like to become a Christian, or I'd like to become a member of the church, and I'd like to know how to do that. And we would love to be able to share with you how to do that. In your bulletin, there's even a flap there that says, get your information. And we can even have one of our ministers or one of our life group leaders follow up with you. But I am saying today that a decision to follow Christ is a personal decision. Each one of us have to do that on our own. Your faith or your parents' faith, your child's faith, that is not good enough for you. It's a personal, individual decision. But it's not private. Because I would say to you that we are in this together. We are the family of faith. We are joining 1 billion people today to celebrate an empty grave, a risen Savior. Have you made the decision to follow Christ? If not, today's a perfect day to do that. We'd love to share with you how to do that. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite our folks who are musicians to come and lead us. And if you want to make a public decision this morning, we would love for you to be able to do that. If you'd like for someone to follow up with you, we would certainly do that. But as we sing, as we celebrate, as we continue in worship, we want to invite everyone to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's calling and tugging on their lives. Let's pray together. God, we pray even now that your will be done. We pray, God, even now that if there's anyone in this place who've never given their life to Jesus, that today would be the day. God, we pray even now that there are those who maybe don't feel like they have walked with you. Maybe they don't feel like, maybe they've given their life to you, but they just haven't grown like they feel like they should. God, I pray that today would be a new day. Today's a fresh start. We celebrate a risen Savior. We celebrate the resurrection. God, we want to be sensitive to your calling. Whatever that is, God, we pray that we would be responsive. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand together? Christians praying all across this room. We are reflecting on what God has done in our life. Maybe there's repentance that needs to take place. Maybe this altar needs to be a place for you to just to take the things that you have in your heart pent up and just leave them here. However the Holy Spirit is leading, you respond. You reflect. We'd invite you to come.